I did a little bit of trespassing today. Not heavy trespassing, nothing too horrible. But I took a drive out to a state park. I was planning on hiking at a state park today, and it's a bit of a drive. It's a bit of a drive to get out there, and as I got there, they had the big gates closed. Do not enter. And it says, park closed Sunday and Monday. Every week. It's not that it was a holiday. It's not that there was any special reason. It's closed every Sunday and Monday, which I find strange. I find that strange, and I'd already invested enough time and distance into going to this park that I decided I'm still going to go. I'm going to find some other place to park, and I'm still going to go, and I'm going to enjoy it even more because I will be, hopefully, the only person there. And I will be breaking a rule. I will be a rule breaker, and that will give it an added little something. And I feel like this coming off the heels of the forbidden episode, not the forbidden episode, but the episode about when things are forbidden and how that compels you to want to do them even more. That's what happened today. When I found that the state park was closed, it made me want to go to the park even more. And so that's what I did. I found a place to park, you know, 5-10 minutes away, 5-10 minute walk. There are some houses out there. It's not quite rural, but it's definitely not in town. It's quite a ways outside of town. So there's not a lot of houses. But there's enough to where, you know, you don't want to park in a place where you seem like you're in somebody's space. Even if it's just a pull-off on the side of the road, you don't want to be too close to someone's driveway, too close to someone's house. But you want to be close enough to where if some authority figure were to drive by, they wouldn't think, that's a guy who snuck into the park. They're going to think, oh, he could be at one of these houses. But it's too hard to associate which house he would be at. And by he, I mean me. So you want to be inconspicuous, but not too inconspicuous. That's always important when you're sneaking around, is you don't want to be too inconspicuous. There's a balance. Because if you seem too inconspicuous, you stand out even more. And it's hard to really know when that's the case. But I felt like I did a good job. I felt like I left my car in the right place. And I found a little trail to sneak past the gates, and I made it in. And it immediately changes your experience when you're doing something quote-unquote wrong. Now, I didn't actually feel like I was doing something wrong. I don't feel that going into a state park when it's closed is wrong at all. I mean, it's Earth. It's a place where plants and trees and dirt are available for you to walk through. It wasn't cultivated. It wasn't built. Yeah, they maintain the trails, but I actually don't even care about that. I enjoy it when trails are overgrown. I enjoy it when paths aren't well maintained. It makes it more fun. But the idea that someone can tell you, you can't come to this stretch of earth today. You can't come to this natural environment and walk. The idea of the state trying to tell me that. And I'm not even going to get into the whole taxpayer thing. You know, there's that certain person who's like, as a taxpayer, I should be able to go 7 days a week, not five. Who are you to tell me I can't go Sunday and Monday? And why did they choose Sunday and Monday? Sunday seems like a good day to have a state park be open. People don't work. People go to church. They can go after church. Maybe it's closed because the idea is, why would someone want to go to this natural environment and appreciate nature when they should be in church? Maybe that's the logic, but it's strange to me to have a state park closed on a weekend day. But today was Monday, and it was closed, and, you know, it's funny when you get there, because it's like, they're trying to tell me I can't simply walk through nature, because that's all I want to do. All I want to do is walk through, but in doing that, I'm breaking a law now. I'm trespassing. In a place that I could go to tomorrow, at the same exact time, I am breaking a law. And in saying, you know, all I'm doing is going to a place where stuff grows out of the ground and I just want to, you know, be among it. It's almost like the marijuana argument where people are like, it's a plant that grows, man. It's very hippy-dippy, but it's true. It's just stuff that grows all around, man, and you're telling me I can't go there? And it would be different if it were private property, because I do respect private property. I respect my own private property, and I don't like it when people trespass on my place. I don't like it when someone cuts across my lawn. But I also respect other people's private property, even when it's sprawling. You know, I wouldn't go on to Farmer John's property, even if he had a patch of forest that he never uses and that is easy to access from some trail or road. I still wouldn't go on to Farmer John's property. And not just because he might spray my torso with buckshot. Not just because I might be murdered by Farmer John, but also because, you know, it's his property. And I do respect that. I do respect private property. And, you know, you could get into some kind of argument about property. There are people who think that humans shouldn't own property. We can't claim land. And I agree, we shouldn't steal land. You think about the whole issue with the Native Americans taking land. You know, they were like, you know, we just live on it, and we take from the earth, you know, a reasonable amount. We don't claim this as our own. But we just live here, and we turned around, and we're like, give it to us. Oh, in that case, it's ours. And, you know, I don't agree with that. I don't support the idea of taking land from underneath someone else's feet and claiming it as your own. Even if those people say it's not theirs, if they're there, I don't believe in taking that from them. You know, it's hard to argue against private property considering the entire world does it in some capacity. Just about every civilization has some form of personal land property. And I like having my own, and so I want to give people the same respect. But when it comes to state land, when it comes to a state park, a forest and a beach, it's hard to, you know, take it seriously when they close the gates and tell you, you can't come in here. You can't walk here today. Whereas tomorrow, if you come at the same exact time, you can. But you're doing something illegal if you come in today. It just doesn't make sense to me. So it was fun, though. It was fun to be there and to think, you know, hey, there's something a little different. I've been here many times when there are other people, but not only do I have it to myself, but I feel like an outlaw. And I'm not the biggest daredevil in the world. You know, I'm not the most daring person. I'm not the biggest outlaw in the world. I've certainly done worse than trespassed at a state park when it's closed. This definitely isn't the culmination of my outlaw spirit today. This wasn't the peak of my outlaw spirit in going to this park today when it was closed. I've definitely done worse than this. But I have to say, for being something very inconsequential, for being something that harmed nobody, it was fun to know that I was doing something wrong. And with that Forbidden episode I did recently, that was one of the points I make, is that when you're told you can't do something and you know you're doing something wrong in doing it, it makes you want to do it even more. And I felt that completely today. And it also shifts your consciousness a little bit. You know, it makes you hyper-vigilant. And I'm a vigilant person to begin with, who's almost always teetering on the edge of that slippery slope into hyper-vigilance, which itself is a steep drop into paranoia, which I certainly have experience with. But doing this today, it put me in more of a hyper-vigilant state, where suddenly I was aware of much more. My ears were perking up at the slightest sound. Any sudden movement, I was looking there. God forbid I run into a park ranger. God forbid I run into someone from the Forest Service. You know, I'm an outlaw. What are they going to do to me? But when I got into the park, after I got in through this one trail, I made it to the main parking lot. And it was kind of eerie. It was completely empty, of course, and very quiet. And this is a park where there's normally families, there's normally people in the parking lot. There are some picnic tables, there's a beach. There's a really great hiking trail, but there's usually some sound. There's a lot of people there. It's a popular place. And it was just eerily quiet, which, you know, even though it was lush and beautiful, it still gives you this almost post-apocalyptic, post-civilization vibe, a little bit of a Twilight Zone vibe. And so it was a little bit eerie going through that parking lot, knowing that I was the only person there. And I was relieved to know that there were no Forest Service folk. There were no rangers around, that I had it to myself. And as soon as I started walking on the hiking trail, I hear a loud truck. Just one of those loud, big trucks. And it comes down the hill, which is inside the park. So he's past the gates, past those big, you know, the gates of the Forbidden State Park. And he's made it down. And I'm far enough along the trail where I can still kind of see out, but they're not going to be able to see me. And I see this large truck, and it looks like it has a big tank on the back, maybe a septic tank. And I'm like, oh, okay. They're here to drain the bathrooms. The park has bathrooms. It would make sense that on the day it's closed, the big septic truck comes and drains the bathrooms. So that's what it looked like to me from my vantage point in the bushes. But of course, what I really see is a paddy wagon on my heels. I'm feeling a bit paranoid, especially being in the lot. You know, the whole time I was on this trail, the whole time I was in this park, I had that feeling of hypervigilance. But when I was near the parking lot, it definitely teetered into paranoia, just outright paranoia. And so I don't see a septic truck. I see a paddy wagon, and they're going to throw me in it. Trespasser? Into the paddy wagon. And even if it was a septic truck, I don't know that they wouldn't just throw me in that. Oh, the paddy wagon was full today. Oh, we've had so many trespassers today, the paddy wagon's full. Just throw them in the tank. Throw them in the septic tank on the back of the truck. Throw them in with the piss and shit. Because that's what he deserves. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. When he decided to trespass in this park, that's what he wanted. He wanted to be punished. He wanted to be thrown in the fucking septic tank. That's what they do to you nowadays. If you trespass at a state park, they throw you in the back of a septic tank. But yeah, I saw a paddy wagon. I wanted to see a paddy wagon because you get a thrill out of that. When you're doing something wrong, you get a thrill out of having someone on your heels. Especially if you're not doing anything terribly wrong. If you know you're not going to be terribly punished. Farmer John's not going to spray you with a round of buckshot. But as I was walking the trail, I kept waiting to hear chainsaws or, you know, the sound of machinery. Because there are a lot of fallen trees and branches right now. We had a blizzard a few weeks ago, and it knocked a lot of trees down. And this particular trail was covered in trees, which I love because it's like an obstacle course. I like anything that basically obstructs you or just changes your experience. Because it keeps you on your toes. And it's the same thing, too, for going into the park when it's closed, going in as a trespasser, because it shifted my consciousness just ever so slightly. I had kind of a tingly feeling the entire time. And as I said, I was much more aware of things that I feel like I otherwise wouldn't have been aware of. And it turned it into an RPG. You know, it suddenly became a choose-your-own-adventure story. It became a role-playing game where I suddenly was doing something. I wasn't simply a hiker. I wasn't there simply on a normal day strolling around. I suddenly had a purpose. And along with wanting to hike and enjoy nature, I had a secondary purpose of not wanting to be spotted, not wanting to be noticed, evading authorities. And not just authorities, evading anyone. Because it's not just that I didn't want to run into a ranger or the Forest Service. I didn't want to run into another trespasser. More than the authorities, I don't want to see another trespasser. I'm more afraid of my own kind in that situation than I am the authorities. Because I don't know what they're up to. You know, I'm just here to walk. I'm breaking the law just so I can walk, so I can hike. But I don't know what they're here for. I don't know what another trespasser is here for. Or God forbid I see a neighbor, because there's a couple houses that border the park, and I was just waiting for that neighbor to stick their head over the hill and go, "You can't be here today," for that hall monitor, for that snitch to try to mess with me, try to tell me I can't be there. That gatekeeper, rule-enforcing neighbor, that neighborhood goblin, neighborhood snitch, the snitch-ass neighbor, who I never saw, but I kept imagining them. Because you start to run through those scenarios in your head. It's almost like when something's bugging you at work and you're taking a shower and you're running through the whole scenario in your head. You're imagining going into an HR meeting and just what you're going to say and how you're going to tell off that coworker that you've had trouble with. You're going to tell your boss off and you're imagining what they would say. And so you basically have this imaginary argument playing out, and it's really just a manifestation of anxiety and is one of the least productive things you can do with your brain. It's kind of like that, but more fun, because you're on a trail and you're like, who's going to try to stop me? Who's going to try to stop me from walking today? And I didn't actually see any neighbors, but I was imagining running into people, and I'm very glad I didn't run into any fellow trespassers. It's sort of like prison in that way, where in prison you might hate, and I've never been to prison, but let me just go with this. In prison, you might hate the guards, you might hate the warden, but you're really most concerned with other inmates. And that's what it's like to be a trespasser. You might not want to run into that ranger, you might not want to run into the guy cutting down trees with a chainsaw clearing the path, you might not want to run into that Forest Service employee, but you're really more concerned with the other inmates, which is to say, the trespassers. And fortunately, this place doesn't have any homeless camps. It's far enough outside of society to where it doesn't have any camps, doesn't have any meth labs that I know about, so you're not going to run into that. But you still don't know who those other trespassers are going to be. I mean, they're already breaking a rule. Rule breakers. See, once you break one rule, you easily start breaking other rules. A rule breaker is more likely to break multiple rules, more than just one. Because once you break one rule, you're like, this is easy. This is easy. And especially if you get away with it. So while I had myself in check, I'm only breaking the rule of being here. Other than that, I'm perfect. I'm a perfect citizen, just enjoying the day. But I don't know what they're going to do. But I did start to worry more and more about the Forest Service as I walked. I was thinking, oh, they're not going to do anything. Maybe they'll tell me to leave. And I started kind of coming up with, if I ran into a ranger or someone with the Forest Service, I was thinking, you know, what would I tell them? Would I hide? Would I run and hide if I saw them? Would I pretend I didn't know the park was closed? Oh, I came here along the beach. I didn't know. I was walking along the beach, and I didn't know it was closed. I thought about telling a soft lie, and I've made a lot of effort in recent years to not tell even soft lies. And what I mean by soft lies are lies that are of little to no consequence. They're, you know, putting the end above the means in a way that doesn't manipulate anybody, that doesn't, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody, it doesn't make you out to be a better person. A great example of a soft lie would be, I can't come into work today because I'm sick. Can you hear? This is my sick voice. This is my sicky voice. My sicky voice. Did you know I'm sick today? You know, it's telling your boss. It's calling into work and saying you're sick when you're not. It's not going to a party that you're invited to. You say, I can't go to the party tonight. I can't go to your birthday party at Sizzler because... my stepson got bit by my dog. My stepdog bit my son. My stepdog. And when you tell soft lies like that, they're just there to be nice. It's so you have some sort of excuse so that you're not just saying, I can't go. And then that's when your parent, the voice of your parent gets in your ear and says, you can't or you won't. You can't do it or you won't do it. And you're not going to say to your friend, I won't do it. I won't go to your party. I will not go to your party. Even if you don't mean it in a mean way, there's no nice way to say that. There's no way to sugarcoat the fact that you won't go. So you say, I can't. And I think that's okay. I think that's sort of that's not really a soft lie when you say, I can't. Because it plays into this idea of, you know, almost like a mental health day where it's like, I just don't want to go. And if you really don't want to do something, I think there's a truth to saying you can't. I need to just restore my brain. I need to just focus on myself. So I think saying I can't do something is okay. But it does get into that can't or won't sort of dilemma. And I've tried to avoid giving bullshit excuses the last 2 or 3 years. I try very hard not to make up some excuse and say, I'm sick. I'm so sick. I can't go. Because it's not true, and I used to do it all the time. That used to be my go-to excuse, like everybody. That's everybody's go-to excuse. I don't feel well. I'm sick. Or you make up something else. You know, I never really did that. I never really talked about my stepdog biting my son. Neither of which I have. I don't have a stepdog, nor do I have a son, but which would make the lie especially good if I just made up these people in my life. But I did tell the sick one I would do things like that, and I've really tried not to. So there was sort of a dilemma in my head today, to get back to the trespassing story, where I was like, if I run into a ranger or if I run into some other authority figure while I'm here, I'm going to tell them a soft lie. And I realize that's okay. You know, if you don't know someone and you're just trying to avoid getting a ticket or you're trying to avoid getting punished by the authorities and you haven't been doing anything to hurt somebody or it's life or death, I think it's okay to tell a soft lie. It's okay. But still, it sucks, you know, because then you have to stick to it. You have to, I don't know. I don't want to tell soft lies. And I feel like if I start telling lies, it's going to be a quick path to just being a con man, because I would really enjoy that. I think I would really enjoy playing confidence games with people, not even for any material gain. I think I would really enjoy playing certain characters or personas, and I've found that I've gotten better at doing that as I've gotten older. When I was younger, I didn't have the confidence to lie for fun. I didn't have it in me to be like some used car salesman, but I could almost see myself enjoying that now if I let myself do it. So I can't let myself do it. It's like you're trying to sell a car to someone and they're like, does it have an iPod player? Does this Cadillac have an iPod player? And I'd be like, well, it plays music, you know, where it's like, you're not saying it doesn't, but it has an old radio. So you just tell them it plays music, but you don't actually tell them it doesn't have an iPod player. I could see myself really getting into that. Just being sleazy as fuck. I would enjoy playing, and I would justify it by being like, I'm just playing a character. I'm just playing a character. So I try not to do it. I try not to, like, get on that slippery road toward being a con man by not even telling soft lies. But I did consider it today. I did think about telling lies to the ranger, or telling lies to the workers, the maintenance workers, the people who maintain that forest, who maintain that naturally occurring phenomenon. Then I started to worry even a little bit about what would happen if I ran into a forest worker with a chainsaw, because I've run into them before. They're there on days when the park is open, which is interesting. They weren't there today. I don't even know maybe they don't work Sundays and Mondays. Maybe that's the whole thing. The park is closed, but the maintenance people don't even work today. But I kind of expected to see them there. Today would be a good day to cut those fallen trees apart with a chainsaw. Wouldn't you do that when people aren't there? But I actually see those guys when the park is open normally. But, you know, it got me thinking about that. Like, these people who, they use chainsaws all day, every day. And, you know, when you work, your imagination goes places. You consider scenarios. Like I was saying about just even the scenarios I was considering in my head today as I was in my state of hypervigilance, as I was imagining people confronting me, people chasing me, people trying to throw me in the septic paddy wagon, as I was exploring all those possibilities. That's a great example. Because when you're hacking shit up with a chainsaw and you've gotten really comfortable and good with that chainsaw, you do it every day. You work for the Forest Service. You cut apart, you know, fallen down tree limbs, fallen down trees. Your brain will kind of wander. And, you know, if someone spends hours and hours every day with a chainsaw, they might think about other things. But at some point, they're going to consider the tool they're using. And they're going to get kind of creative with what they could do with that tool. And you know somebody who uses a chainsaw every day, they've thought at least once about cutting somebody up with a chainsaw or like hacking at somebody. They've thought of, even if it's just a self-defense thing, because oftentimes we have those self-defense fantasies. God knows I have tons of them. But you know that guy, he's thought, oh, he's hacking away at something with a chainsaw and he imagines he runs into some trespasser, some arrogant trespasser who tries to rob him, who tries to fuck with him in some way, and he has to defend himself with a chainsaw. And that's on a good day. That's just imagining, you know, a really bad outlaw criminal who's on the run, who happens to be hiding in the woods where he's working, and tries to attack him, so he uses the chainsaw in self-defense. The point being, at some point, that guy has thought about the possibility of using that chainsaw on somebody. Just like a cop, you know, a cop has a gun, and no matter how good that cop is, no matter how much of a good cop he is, he thought about shooting somebody with that gun. You don't carry a tool around all the time and not get creative. You know, your imagination is going to run. You're going to think about things, whether you want to do that or not. It's not like a cop necessarily wants to shoot somebody. Yeah, there are bad cops who probably do fantasize about shooting at people. But I bet there are really good, stable, well-adjusted cops who have thought before, you know, well, I wonder what it would be like to shoot someone. So it's the same thing with a Forest Service person, an ant. That's all they are. They're the modern-day ants. They're just there to take care of the forest. Except ants don't think about hacking you up with a chainsaw in their free time when they're bored. But those people, no doubt they've thought about that. So, you know, I would really hope that I don't startle them. You know, they're there on a day when the park is closed. They're just clearing some brush. They don't think anybody's there because the park's closed. It's supposed to be closed. Anybody who's there is a trespasser. And God forbid I come around the corner and startle them. You know, I'm a man. It's not like I'm a child. It's not like I'm a, you know, a helpless woman. I'm a man. And that's a good thing and a bad thing for me because I can go to a park. I can trespass, and I don't really have to worry. As an adult male, I'm both I'm what people fear, and there's a certain power in that. And as someone who's not going to try to scare people, it's nice. There's a nice bonus that people are naturally a little bit afraid of me if they see me on a trail. It's like, oh, there's a man. That's one of the people on this earth who does horrible things, who is capable of horrible things. So I'm going to try to avoid him, try not to fuck with him. So I have that going for me, but I could startle somebody. I could startle a guy with a chainsaw. And he could nick me at the very least. He could just nick me. Hope he doesn't hit a vein. Or what if he had a really bad night? What if the previous night his longtime girlfriend left him, his wife divorced him? His wife divorced him and his girlfriend, his mistress left him in the same night. And his daughter told him, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with you, Dad. His daughter said that on top of everything else, on top of losing his mistress and his wife in the same night. And now he's here with a chainsaw and his brain is just fucking flying. His mind is racing. And then he sees a trespasser. And maybe my face just, maybe I look intimidating. Maybe I look scary. Maybe it doesn't even matter. And he's just at wit's end. And he's just like, you know what? I'm going to hack this guy up. So you never really know. You never really know who you're safe around, who you're safe with. And there's no soft lie that can get you out of that. There's no soft lie you can tell to a man with a chainsaw. And you have to respect the man with the chainsaw. If he's right or he's wrong, you have to respect the man with the chainsaw. It's like with the gun. You know, you have to respect the man with the gun. I don't like it. I don't like that I have to show respect to the man with the gun, but there's an imbalance of power. And if a cop has pulled a gun on me, even if I've done nothing wrong, I have to respect that. Not that I actually respect what he's doing, but I have to, you know, I have to go through the motions of respect because that's the man with the gun. And you're trying not to get killed. And yeah, there are fucked up cops who will kill you anyway. Or, you know, there's all kinds of scenarios that can play out. But it's the same thing when a guy has a chainsaw. You got to show a certain level of respect for a guy when he has a chainsaw and you don't. And one way to show respect is to not lie to him. I mean, imagine someone holding a chainsaw looking at you and they're like, I know you're lying. Don't bullshit me. Turns the chainsaw on. You know, you're not going to fuck with that guy. You're not going to lie to that guy. But they could lie about you. I mean, you could get into an altercation with a Forest Service worker with a chainsaw, and they could cut you, or anything could happen. And if the cops came, he could just say, oh, well, he was trespassing. And then, you know, that doesn't seem so bad. You know, like, oh, he's just trespassing. But they could lie. That's the thing. You know, someone else could lie about you. They could say, oh, well, he wasn't just trespassing. He was walking around with his dick out. He had his hand down his pants the whole time. You know, other people can tell horrible lies against you. And who are they going to believe? Let's say you get into an altercation with a ranger or a Forest Service employee, and the cops come, or something happens, some sort of other authority figure is there, and the other person says, the ranger says, well, he was walking around with his dick out. He was walking around with his hand down his pants. He was just walking around like that. Who are they going to believe? Are they going to believe the trespasser who says, no, I wasn't? No, I didn't do that. I didn't have my dick out. Are they gonna trust the trespasser? Or are they gonna trust the person who's legally supposed to be there, who is employed by the state, who has the full right to be there when the park is closed? Who are they gonna trust? The person who's already broken one rule? The guy who's already broken one rule, like I said, he's way more likely to break another rule. The trespasser is way more likely to break another rule, so he might as well have his dick out. He's the one who would. They're not going to believe you if you say, oh, the ranger had his dick out. I like how this is the example. Not drugs, not something else, not some other nefarious, not something else. It's just simply having your dick out. Because that's what you do. When you go to a park when it's closed, you don't just walk. You walk around with your dick out. But it's funny. But you're in this state of hypervigilance, and there's some fun in that. It is like a role-playing game. It is like you're playing a character almost. Because I found myself, I'd gone all the way around this loop, and it's a large loop, relatively large. And as I was coming down the other end, it's on the other end of the parking lot, and it's kind of this, not quite a cliff, but it's a very steep hill that kind of gradually winds down and goes down near the parking lot. And as I was getting closer, I found myself getting quieter and quieter. Like, I have my keys on one of my belt loops, and I found myself keeping my hand there, not down my pants, but I found myself keeping my hand, on the side of my pants to quiet my keys so they wouldn't jingle, and I found myself creeping along the edge, and the truck was no longer there. And I should say, actually, there's a part of the trail even before that where it kind of runs along a neighborhood road, and there was a garbage truck going along there, and I thought, maybe the truck I saw was a garbage truck. Maybe it wasn't a septic truck. Maybe it wasn't a paddy wagon. Maybe it was a garbage truck, and the garbage truck was coming to collect trash because the park has trash cans. I don't know. It could have been any of these trucks or none of the above. As far as I'm concerned, it was a paddy wagon. Even if it was a garbage truck, that's the best paddy wagon of all because you treat the trespassers like trash. Throw that trash in the back of there. They might as well just grab me by the hood of my sweatshirt and toss me in the back of that garbage truck. Everything's a paddy wagon if you want it to be. But I see this garbage truck, and it was sort of a sense of relief. I was like, oh, it's just a garbage truck. It was almost like these monsters were following me. These trucks were these monsters that were just after me. But when I saw that it was a garbage truck, it was almost like one of those moments from a movie. It happens in Predator, where they're following Predator, and then they hear a rustling in the bushes, and it's an animal. Some animal crawls out. It always happens in horror movies where there's a cat. They hear something, and then they get all scared, and they're waiting for the bad guy to pop out, and a cat just meows and runs it by. That's kind of what it was, except it was a fucking garbage truck. when I saw it was a garbage truck, I was like, oh, phew. It's just a garbage truck, not a paddy wagon. As I was getting closer to the parking lot, as the loop was ending, I was kind of descending the steep descent and trying to be quieter and quieter, and I found that paranoia increasing. I found that hypervigilance dropping into just complete paranoia as I got closer to the parking lot, and nothing was there, and that was almost scarier. I almost wished there had been a paddy wig, and I almost wished there had been a guy with a chainsaw, because you kind of do want that. You kind of do want some kind of confrontation. There's something about being hypervigilance that wants your paranoia to be justified. It kind of wants your weird fantasies to be real and justified. It's like, if I'm going to feel these things, if I'm going to run through all this shit in my head, if I'm going to feel these sensations, I kind of want to do something with them. I kind of want to see them manifest into reality. But there was nothing. There was nothing at the bottom. And then I walked the loop again. I was like, well, since there's nobody here, I'm just going to keep walking. You only get so many opportunities to trespass. I might as well just retrace my steps and trespass for a little while longer. There was nothing there. And so I was walking back. And speaking of the garbage trucks and stuff like that following me, I did have this thought while I was there. And I was like, maybe Sunday and Monday it's closed because that's when they just let the monsters roam. Not the trucks. Maybe there are some real-life monsters they just let roam here. This is when the dragon purifies the land, and that's why they don't let people here. Maybe it's for my own safety. Maybe the state has no control, and they're just keeping up this minor illusion. Oh, we have to close the parks. We don't have the funds to keep the parks open 7 days a week. In reality, the state and the Forest Service and all these people, they're just keeping up this charade because they don't want people to know that Sunday and Monday is when the monsters roam. They don't want people to know that's when the dragon breathes his fire. And when I was walking back, when I decided to retrace the loop backward, I started to hear this howling. To me, it was a wolf. To me, it was a wolf, without a doubt, but it was probably just a dog. It sounded like a mentally impaired wolf, which really, that's just what a dog is. A dog is just a mentally impaired wolf anyway. And I couldn't tell whether it was up ahead of me on the trail or coming from a house that kind of bordered the trail a little ways off, but it was carrying over. And it was just so deranged sounding. It sounded like in the first Star Wars movie, in A New Hope, when Luke and everybody is getting attacked by the Tusken Raiders, by the Sand People, and Obi-Wan makes that crazy bellow, just that big noise. He's mimicking a bantha or a crate dragon or whatever it is. And he makes that noise and it scares the Tusken Raiders off. It was almost like that noise just on repeat in the distance, but way more lupine, way more canine, way more lupine, way more canine. It was like a canine bantha. I could hear a canine bantha howling. You know, it was like that. And it made me nervous, because I was like, I don't need, even if it's not a wolf, which of course it is, and I don't think we have wolves around here, but even if it's not a wolf, I don't really want to deal with a dog right now. I don't really want to deal with a dog on this trail, because that either means it's with a trespasser, or that dog is trespassing completely on its own, and that's the scariest dog of all, a dog who is trespassing in a state park on its own. So I'm hearing this howling, and it's just making me nervous, and I'm pretty sure it's coming from a house. I've been able to you know, using those, that extra awareness I have through my hypervigilant state, I'm able to detect that I think it's coming from that house over there. But the more I walk the trail, the more it sounds like it's coming from just up ahead the trail, just a little ways ahead. And so I keep walking the trail, and I'm getting a little more comfortable, but then near the other end, when I'm almost out of the trail, I see what appears to be somewhat fresh dog shit. Somewhat fresh. And I didn't notice it the first time I walked that way. So I don't know. You know, maybe I feel like in my hypervigilant state, I would have noticed the dog shit the first time I walked that way. So I do feel like that dog was up ahead of me. That ghost dog was up ahead of me. But that wasn't ghost shit, I'll tell you that. It was not ghost dog shit. So it was a little eerie. It was a little eerie coming across that. But I never actually encountered the dog. And at some point, I stopped hearing those howls. I stopped hearing them. And when I got out to the parking lot, nobody was there. There were no monsters, no trucks, no garbage, septic, paddy wagons. No paddy wagons filled with septic matter and garbage. And by septic matter and garbage, I mean trespassers. That's what we are. That's what a trespasser is. You know, like in the movie The Outsiders, there's a part where they confront the Sosias, and the Sosh says, the Sosh Bob, it's one of my favorite stories of all time. I know the characters. Bob says, you know what a greaser is? White trash with long, greasy hair. And then Ponyboy says back to him, you know what a Sosh is? White trash with Madras and Mustangs. It's almost like that, but it's like, you know what a trespasser is? Septic matter and garbage. I don't know. It sounded funnier when I was thinking of it. No momentum. But anyway, there were no confrontations. I never ended up seeing anybody. After that initial paddy wagon, I never ended up seeing any other vehicles or any other people in the park. And it was kind of disappointing because, like I said, when you have those fantasies, when you're in those that hypervigilant state and you're just fantasizing about what you're going to say, what you're going to do if you get confronted, You almost want it to happen. And that's the scary thing about being in that state, is that people do want things to happen. And not only that state. Anytime your consciousness shifts, anytime you're obsessing or ruminating, you almost want the worst outcome to happen. You know, it's like this, the sort of people who stir up drama. It's like they want to be confronted. They want it to escalate. It's that same idea. When someone's mad, they almost want someone to be mad back at them because that will justify the conflict. But I didn't actually want a conflict to happen. I just, you know, I wanted some kind of climax because it ended up being very anticlimactic. Except for the part where the guy jumped out with a chainsaw and cut my feet off. He cut my legs off. I crawled all the way back to my car and used my hand on the gas pedal. And I used a mirror to see above the dashboard. No, but it was very anticlimactic, but that was okay, because the experience itself was fun, and it made me think about how we need to do that more often. All of us need to do that more often. You know, I know the argument is, it's like I was saying with the forbidden thing. You know, when something is forbidden and you want to break the rules and you're not hurting anybody, you know, there's always the argument, well, if everybody did that, we'd have a problem. It's almost like the bathroom pass thing I was talking about in that episode about how you're not allowed to go to the bathroom without a bathroom pass, and you can't run to the bathroom. You have to walk through the hallways. So they have all these rules in school. And I get it, because it's like, well, what if everybody went to the bathroom at the same time? What if every kid in your class went to the bathroom at the same time and they all ran there? Then what would we do? It's the same kind of argument for, I'd say, going to the state park when it's closed. It's almost like, well, what if everybody decided to trespass? Then the park wouldn't even really be closed, you know, and people would leave trash there that wouldn't get picked up and blah, blah, blah. But that's why you got to pick your spots. You know, if there had been a ton of people there, I probably wouldn't have wanted to go. There would have been a ton of other trespassers, and I've already expressed how scared I am of my own kind. So I wouldn't have even gone there if I saw those other trespassers. Just like if I were in school and every kid went to the bathroom at the same time, I guarantee you I'm not going in that fucking bathroom, because that's fucked up. If every kid is in the bathroom at once, something is wrong in there. It's the same thing at a closed state park. If everybody is trespassing, something's wrong and I don't want to be there. But I recommend people do this sort of thing in their own time when they're the only one. Go to a place when it's closed and make sure it's not Farmer John's property, you know, and he's not going to spray you with buckshot. He's not going to spray your torso with buckshot. Make sure that it's just a place like this. It's soft. In the same way I was talking about soft lies, go to a place, you know, where you're going to break a soft law. Do some soft trespassing. And that hypervigilant state is good to be in. You know, it's associated with like PTSD, because people go to prison or they go to war and they come back and they're described as being in a hypervigilant state. But I think it's good to experience that as long as you're kind of in the moment but self-aware. Because so often when something puts us in that state, it's because we are scared. We are running off of fear. But do it in a way where you have control. Sneak into a park. Sneak into a fucking park on a Monday at noon, like I did. And you'll just be in a slightly elevated state of mind, a slightly more aware state of mind. You'll be scared of dog shit, but you will... It's like being on a drug. I mean, it really is. I hate to use that comparison because it's so easy, but it is. It's like being on a drug. You know, you take a hit of a joint, you take a tab of acid, you snort a line, and you notice that your consciousness has suddenly shifted. Something is suddenly different, and that's what's, that you seek that out. But it happens with something like this, just sneaking into a park. Like I said, if I went there tomorrow on a Tuesday at the same exact time, I wouldn't have gotten the same sensation because it would have been open. The paddy wagon wouldn't have been there. Dog shit would have seemed completely normal to me if I went tomorrow at the same exact time. But because I went today, it shifted my consciousness. And quickly, immediately, and it was sustained. And there are a million ways you can do that. You have to be aware of it. And I even thought about recording this podcast while I was there, because I was thinking about these things at the time. I was walking around and I was like, oh, this would make a fun podcast to talk about the sensations related to trespassing and all these fun little scenarios I'm playing out in my head. But I was like, I don't want to take myself out of the moment. I don't want to kill this high by talking about it while I'm doing it. And more than that, I didn't want to be talking at all. I'm trying to hide. I'm an outlaw. I'm on the run from the Ranger's paddy wagon, from Sheriff Hood and his merry chainsaw deputies. You know, I'm on the run here. I don't want to be yapping into my phone while I'm trying to hide, while I'm trying to be discreet, while I'm trying to make myself scarce. So that was the main reason I didn't record the podcast into my phone while I was on the trail, is because it would have made too much noise. Hypervigilance is healthy. Even though it's associated with trauma and people come back from war and they can't go to a shopping mall without looking over their shoulder or trying to protect their family. You know, someone tries to sell them something from a kiosk and suddenly they're like covering their family with a blanket. I don't know. I'm not trying to make fun of PTSD or the hypervigilance that comes from that, but I think there's a healthy hypervigilance. And I think it makes you aware of things that you otherwise wouldn't. It kind of makes you think like a criminal in some ways. Just an example of that is something that people don't realize is if you're going out of town, don't broadcast it. Don't tell, if you see your neighbor pulling into their driveway, don't go over and say, "Hey, John, yeah, we're going out of town this weekend. We're leaving at the crack of dawn on Saturday, and we're going to be back after midnight on Sunday." You don't broadcast that out loud in public. Not because you can't trust that neighbor, but you don't know who's listening. You don't know who's hiding around a corner. You don't know which burglar is hiding around the corner. Just, you know, like Joe Pesci from Home Alone, pretending to be a cop. You don't know who's just waiting around the corner, waiting for you to overshare. Because that's the true oversharing. Oversharing isn't talking about, you know, how often you go to the bathroom or talking about how often you masturbate. It isn't about talking about walking around the woods with your dick out. Oversharing is when you give information out that is going to hurt you or someone else that doesn't need to be made public. And part of that is like just broadcasting, say, when you're going to be out of town. Burglars wait for that shit. Burglars know what they're doing. It's almost like the other side of hypervigilance. They have their own form of hypervigilance, and they're just waiting. Because they, one of the reasons burglars exist isn't just so they can steal things and profit and make money. It's because they enjoy trespassing into other people's lives and onto other people's property. They don't do soft trespassing. They do hard trespassing, heavy trespassing. And you have to be hyper-vigilant to avoid them. And it's not just that there's some sinister, you know, textbook burglar hiding in a bush, and so you shouldn't broadcast something to your neighbor out in the driveway. It could be another neighbor. That's something people don't realize, is that neighbors break into neighbors' homes. You don't think about it because you're just like, oh, neighbors are neighbors. I might only text people and I might not talk to my neighbors. I might be a modern human who doesn't know anybody's name on my street. But we still have a tendency just to trust the fact that a neighbor isn't going to, say, break into our homes, but they do. In my last neighborhood, it happened. The people who lived across the street had their home broken into when they were at work, and it was never proven, but they strongly suspected the people next door in this duplex, and those people would have known their hours. Those people could have just looked out their window, and they would know what time these people went to work, what time they got home, where they kept the dogs, you know what I mean? It's that sort of idea. And how well do you really know your neighbors? You know, that neighbor who's pulling into his driveway and you're ready to go tell him you're going to be out of town that weekend. You're running up in his driveway. You don't even know where he's coming from. He might be coming from a closed state park where he was just trespassing.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free. so tame.